Blog Talk Radio.
Foretaste or precursor of what's to come, but anyway, it's the last day that the fleet is here in San Francisco. Sitting out in the bay is the USS Carl Vinson. Because it's a nuclear aircraft carrier, there were no visitors allowed and wasn't docked, so it's sitting out in the bay, and sailors have to take a launch into the city to, if they want to see San Francisco, those who haven't. The ship was here in 1996 and was involved in the notorious Stephen Neri case, where the kid was, 18-year-old boy, was raped, drugged, and lured by Juan Pifre to his house. And there was a fight, and the guy died. Apparently, a lot of cover-ups. The guy had believed he had AIDS, illegal alien connected to the district attorney who prosecuted the sailor. There were forged documents to get him off the ship. Forged documents about the autopsy, and we'll get into that another day. We will be releasing the FBI communications with me, who was the legal liaison to the Navy on this case. Today, we'll get into the birthdays, and there's a lot of interesting music. Henry Cavendish, the inventor of or the discoverer of hydrogen, was born today. Paul Grieger, the first president of South Africa, that was before the start of the Boer War. Helen Hayes, great actress, she adopted James MacArthur, her and her husband, and James MacArthur is famous or infamous for Hawaii Five-O, the TV shows. Theolophus Monk, the great jazz, black jazz musician and composer, was born today. And those of you who remember Shogun, the Japanese, about the Japanese program on TV, which starred, I forgot his name, good Lord, shame on me. But anyway, James Cabell was born today. We also did another thing on Asia. And the guy who used to play Dr. Kildare played the white guy who was working with the Shogun at that time. That was before the... Commodore Perry opened up Japan for trade. And then if you remember the Dirty Dozen, Richard Jekyll, his birthday is today. And then if you've been watching, and I recommend this highly, the Prohibition series on PBS, it's one of the things that they really do good. If they stay away from politically correct stuff, they'd be okay. But anyway, Prohibition, very well done. And the narrator is Peter Coyote, and it's his birthday today. If you remember the TV program and the dancer Ben Vereen, it's his birthday. Football player had a bit of a problem. Bette Favre from Louisiana, his birthday's today. American composer Paul Kristen, he's born today. Another musician, and he did a lot of conducting and did musical scores for, I think it was MGM. Johnny Green was born today. The son of Adlai Stevenson I, Adlai Stevenson II, he was born today. Those of you who remember the great English playwright Henry Pinter, Harold Pinter, he was born today. Another English Canadian actor, Daniel Massey, the son of Raymond Massey, he was born today. He's briefly married, I forgot, not to Kim Novak. Oh, no, that was somebody else. Anyway, and then this guy was born in Shanghai, China, a law professor at Harvard, Lawrence Tribe, he was born today. And then staying in that part of the world, Charles Dance, if you remember, The Jewel in the Crown, he was born today. And then one of the greatest opera composers of all time was born today, Giuseppe Verdi. And probably we're going to play his most famous piece of music, The Hymn of Nations. Part of the Hymn of Nations, that's the Internationale, which was the communist marching song and anthem. So to follow that appropriately would be this brief interview I did with a young Russian sailor on the Palata, which was a Russian Navy ship that was here on a port visit. And this is one of the two or three interviews I did. It's very brief because they're still very suspicious, but hopefully with this new generation of Russians, Russian youth who have access to, they're on Facebook, they have computers, laptops, cell phones, and the whole bit. So it's quite interesting. It's quite a breakthrough in communications. But here is a very brief interview I did with one of them.
You're cadets, huh?
Yes.
Ah. And then what do? You have a choice to go in the Russian Navy or the Army or what? Or go to school, university?
I will be Navy where I am. Consulate my study in Maritime College.
Oh, okay. What, do you go to St. Petersburg then?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Very famous naval base. Yeah, do you know Rimsky-Korsakov, the great Russian composer?
Yes,
sir. He was there. He was the bandmaster. He was on a Russian ship. He composed...
In the country, he's popular?
Oh, very much. His music, Scheherazade, all the operas, Mulata. What else? I'm a musician, so I know these things.
Okay.
I had an opportunity to go to Russia, but...
Didn't work out. Now, we have another interview. We did several on the Palata, and then also we'll be doing more on the Russian Navy, which I have a particular interest in because of the case involving a Russian sailor who jumped ship and wanted to become an American citizen, and he had filed a habeas corpus in federal district court and worked his way all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's a little-known case, but a very famous case, and we'll get into that because I did some research on it because it's another assertion of federal jurisdiction over its military or a military's jurisdiction over its service personnel. Now, among the deaths today, and we'll get into why this is important, was, I didn't know this, the first Jewish senator, 1866, a guy named David Yale. I don't think it's Yale College. He died today. Eddie Cantor, the great Jewish comedian, he died today. Ralph Metcalf was the other Olympian at the Berlin Olympics. He got eclipsed by Jesse Owens, but Metcalf later became a Chicago politician and an alderman. He died today. So Ralph Richardson, the great British actor, and he had several of his kids. We had one of his sons, Corin Richardson, was in the movie Man for All Seasons. And we had another daughter who's also an actress. And then we had, I forgot this one. But Orson Welles died today, and Yul Brynner. Yul Brynner, getting back to Russia, one of his most famous films was Anastasia, which revolved around the supposed survival of the youngest daughter of Tsar Nicholas II. And Yul Brynner and Ingrid Bergman starred in that film. And Yul Brynner played a white Russian, I think a white Russian general. And Akim Tamirov was involved. It was a great movie. And then we had Orson Welles, who was from Illinois. His most infamous film was Citizen Kane. A lot of controversy about the film, but in that film, he talks about Hearst, the first Hearst, dedication to journalism and to getting the news out and representing people who had nobody to speak for them. And we're going to play that clip. I've got so many here. Which I think is very relevant even today. With the media that's censors and suppressed so many things, and they're really they're doing a disservice to the American public, because we rely on them, and a lot of people rely on them to give information that ordinarily would be suppressed. So here is Citizen Kane on the role of newspapers. It's Orson Welles talking to his financial advisor. Great clip.
Of how to run a newspaper.
I don't know how to run a newspaper, Mr. Thatcher. I just try everything I think of.
Charles, you know perfectly well there's not the slightest proof of this armada off the Jersey
Coast. Hello, Mr. Bernstein.
Excuse me, Mr.
Can you prove it isn't?
This just
Mr. Bernstein, I'd like you to meet Mr. Thatcher.
I'll just call
you, Mr.
Leland.
Hello.
Mr. Thatcher, my ex-guardian. We have no secrets from our readers, Mr. Bernstein. Mr. Thatcher is one of our most devoted readers. He knows what's wrong with every copy of the Inquirer since I took over. Read the cable.
Girls delightful in Cuba, stop. Could send you prose poems about scenery, but don't feel right spending your money. Stop. There is no war in Cuba. Signed, Wheeler. Any answer?
Yes, dear Wheeler, you provide the prose poems. I'll provide the war.
That's fine, Mr. Kane.
Yes, I rather like myself.
Better right away.
To see you about this campaign of yours. An Inquirer campaign against the public transit company.
Mr. Thatcher, do you know anything we could use against them?
Still the college boy, aren't you?
Oh, no, Mr. Thatcher. I was expelled from college. A lot of colleges, you remember. I remember.
Charles, I think I should remind you of a fact that you seem to have forgotten.
Yes.
That you are yourself one of the largest individual stockholders in a public transit company.
The trouble is, you don't realize you're talking to me. As Charles Foster Kane, who owns 84,264 shares of public transit preferred, you see, I do have a general idea of my holdings. I sympathize with you. Charles Foster Kane is a company. His paper should be run out of town. A committee should be formed to boycott it. You may, if you can form such a committee, put me down for a contribution of $1,000.
My time.
On the other hand, I am the publisher of the Inquirer. Such is my duty, and I'll let you in on a little secret. It's also my pleasure to see to it that decent, hardworking people in this community aren't robbed blind by a pack of money-mad pirates. Just because they haven't anybody to look after their interests. I'll let you in on another little secret, Mr. Thatcher. I think I'm the man to do it, you see. I have money and property. I don't look after the interests of the underprivileged. Maybe somebody else will. Maybe somebody without any money or property.
Yes.
That would
money
be too
and property.
Bad.
Well, I happened to see your financial statement today, Charles.
Oh, did you?
Now, tell me, Honestly, my boy, don't you think it's rather unwise to continue this philanthropic enterprise? This inquiry that's costing you $1 million a year?
You're right, Mr. Thatcher. I did lose $1 million last year. I expect to lose $1 million this year. I expect to lose $1 million next year. You know, Mr. Thatcher, at the rate of $1 million a year, I'll have to close this place in 60 years.
So, Charles Foster Kane is actually supposed to represent William Randolph Hearst the First. And there was a lot of litigation and a lot of hostility toward the production and distribution and exhibition of this film. But it's one of the great classics and one of Orson Welles' greatest achievements and greatest films. Among the events today, and of course it ties into some of the things that we're highlighting, I have relatives here, and of course this is where Will Rogers was born. They had the first non-Indian settlement in the Oklahoma Territory on this date. And getting back to Charles Foster Kane and the problems in Cuba, in 1868, Cuba revolted against Spain, and this revolt went on to 1898 when we sent the Maine down there. USS Maine, and mysteriously blew up, and of course Hearst and Pulitzer used that as an excuse to beat the war drums to start the war. With the United States, with Spain, the splendid little war, and Spain was on the downhill. It was the end of the 300 years of Spanish domination, and it was a splendid little war. We also had in 1911 another upheaval. Sun Yat-sen, the great Chinese patriot, overthrew the Manchu dynasty. That was the last of the Chinese dynasties, and then of course we had the Boxer Rebellion and Chiang Kai-shek and Mao and the whole crowd. And then in 1938, now back to the Germans, Hitler completed his annexation of the Sudetenland and chopping up Czechoslovakia and eventually took all of Czechoslovakia. And, of course, Neville Chamberlain and Daladier, the premier of France, just bent over and let Premier Benesch get ripped off and get screwed. And of course Mussolini, Goring, and Hitler just rubbed their hands together because they again pulled off a bloodless coup. This has set the precedent for presidential resignations, and executive branch resignations. And in 1973, faced with all kinds of scandals, Spiro Agnew resigned as vice president, and that's how we got Gerald Ford. And then back to the Nazis again. In 1982, the Vatican, Pope Paul II, canonized Father Kolbe, K-O-L-B-E. He was an inmate of one of the concentration camps, and one of the inmates was scheduled to die. He substituted himself and went to his death and martyrdom in place of this inmate. So he was canonized as a saint in 1982. And also, this is funny, today in Afghanistan, it's called Deliverance Day. I don't know, deliverance from what, the Russians, the Taliban, the heroin, or what. And in 1848, the Naval Academy opened, so we will play appropriate music to honor, since this is Fleet Week. We'll first play... where I got to find it, shame on me. We got some. I'm gonna have to reorganize this. But this is probably the most famous Navy music, American Navy music, and here goes. And it's called Eternal Father, and it's a hymn that's played by every English-speaking Navy in the world to honor its sailors and the perils that they face at sea. And to the German Navy was generally not Nazi. Their upper echelon, the leaders, Dönitz, Raeder, Grand Admiral Raeder, Grand Admiral Dönitz, people like that were Nazis. But the average German swabby was not at Kriegsmarine, and they have some great music. And this is before the Third Reich, just briefly before the Third Reich this was composed. And so since we're honoring, commemorating German reunification, this is stuff, music that you generally don't hear, and this also comes from the archives that we obtain at KLW and Western Public Radio and the Verzola Carson Archives. So here is some German Navy music for Fleet Week.
Wie der Seemann seine Schiff, der Tau, so vertraut er seine and thought, but they can get far. Lord, before, before, God will end up laugh, but cursing them not, they can look so far. Tell him there's a clinger, I'm robustly serious singer. I bet and take time, then leave him for time. I'm a lot of names.
Wednesday at 3 o'clock is Peter Paul Rizzola. See you Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Good night. And this will be up on the internet, and you can download it on iPod and on internet. Good night.